Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering. Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins. I'm the partner who heads up the abuse team at Hugh James, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Felina. All's well with you, I hope?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
And we are going to be discussing in this podcast Zoom bombing. Now, it was your idea to talk about Zoom bombing. So why don't you explain what Zoom bombing is?
Yes, so I brought it up really. Is it something I've seen a lot over Twitter, other professionals and just ordinary people? It is affecting them. So Zoom bombing refers to when individuals upload images, or it may be writing as well, onto Zoom calls without permission. So this could be anything, but what Zoom bombing tends to be related to is images of child abuse. So obviously you and I, Alan, we're talking remotely, we use Zoom with our clients. Individuals are using Zoom to be in touch with their friends and family. So this is something that's affecting, you know, not just professionals, it can be anyone.
Okay, so perhaps I'm being a bit dense here, perhaps denser than normal.
I'm sure.
What are you saying is that individuals are using the technology to upload images, and then what do they do with the images?
That's right. So while you're having a call or a conversation on Zoom, your call can be hijacked. And the images will be then on the call. So it will be on the chat, it will be on your history, that these images or text.
Can this be done surreptitiously? So what I mean is, so you could have individual A and individual B having an innocent chat, and somebody hijacks the...
Yeah, it's at the time of the call. So while you're having that conversation, it will pop up for all people that are participants in live time.
Right. Okay, so the wrongdoer is using that opportunity, and where does this material go to? How does it work?
So that material is then on your Zoom, as far as I understand it, is then on your Zoom history. So depending on how individuals work, that may then be saved on your computer as an innocent party that obviously didn't want that image, presumably didn't want that image. And that may well be saved in your conversation history. You may not delete it. You may not realize it's saved there. This is something that's happened on WhatsApp before. It's, you know, abuse of these systems. I think people don't realize sometimes where these things are saved, how long they're saved for, who has access to them, what's automatically downloaded. It's all very modern issues.
So the wrongdoer, for want of a better expression, what's their objective behind all of this? Is this a means for them to...
It's a good question. It's difficult, really. I know that there are different targets. It's not necessarily an obvious target. Sometimes it is people who are just ordinary people. It may be people who are victims of abuse. I'm not sure what the target is. I don't know if there's a greater aim. I did see that there was an article where individuals who were meeting, it was a sort of rehabilitation meeting between people who have been convicted of child abuse crimes, and they were having a meeting as you know, a recovering meeting with, I think, perhaps therapists, or I'm not entirely sure of the details, but they're people that obviously, you know, rightly or wrongly, what you think about rehabilitation, anyone in the outside, they are recovering, they're not committing offences and they're trying to recover, and they were hijacked and images of child abuse was displayed on their conversation.
Well, that's true.
So I don't know what the main aim is, but I know it has affected people who have been abused and people who have been abusers.
And the National Crime Agency, I see, are reporting that there have been a whole series of video calls which have been hijacked by whoever, which have then displayed indecent images of one sort or another. So it's clearly an issue.
Yeah, I mean, the current figure I saw was 120 cases, but it may be more than that that haven't been reported or, you know, an update since then.
So what is the answer to all of this? People must have very good security systems on their computers, laptops and so on.
Yeah.
But it sounds as though that may not be enough.
Yeah, I think the main takeaway really is to just be aware of your own computer storage and to really understand some of the law behind this, which is, you know, Alan, you were part of the BBC News story, My Search for the Boy in the Child Abuse Video. And that was about, as far as I understand it, someone who was sent child abuse images and they were warned about having these images on their mobile phone or computer.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, there are, you know, some quite high profile cases where individuals innocently have received, that's the right term, images on their phone and they got into trouble for it. And there's one high profile case where the person concerned was prosecuted and I think she ended up losing her job. So, you know, it's high stakes. And
so people have to be
absolutely vigilant. And of course, not only are there criminal offences, potentially civil liability as well, because the individual in the image may well have a case to bring against whoever
is sharing
these images deliberately or not deliberately, as the case may be.
You mentioned that case, the very high profile case, that was a case where the sister had passed along a message. I think that's something to be careful of, you know, during these Zoom calls. If it does happen to you, don't pass it along to anyone and say, look at this awful thing that's just happened, because that in itself could be an offence.
Well, that's right, because you're sharing or downloading indecent images, so crimes could be committed. And of course, what a lot of people don't recognise is that they can be liable in civil law to the innocent people who are appearing in the images. They're participating in something that's obviously terrible, and if the individuals concerned are being harmed or have been harmed, and that harm is sort of being exacerbated by the downloading and sharing of the photo, the image, the video, whatever it happens to be.
And nowadays, obviously, it's a click of a button. It's very easy to share these things.
Stroof, to put it mildly. Zoom bombing. So, you know, that's a term for us to conjure with for 2020 and going onwards. And it just highlights, does it not, how this is all evolving. And it's evolving in the context of COVID-19 and people communicating even more with their laptops, iPhones, and so on. And of course, loads of us, like, you know, you and me, are having to homework as well. So, you know, there's just tens of thousands, if not millions of people working away at their laptops all the time and getting used to dealing with remote working and using conference call facilities and so on. And we're all somewhat innocent and, if not naive, as to some of the risks associated with all of this.
Yeah, exactly. It's things you've never had to really consider before.
Well, on that charged note, thank you very much, Felina, and thank you, podcast listeners. Please tune in to our next podcast next week.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.